I have just a comment on what's going on here. I want to connect this to a couple of events in biblical history so that you can see that when a man or a woman finds out later in life about their Jewishness, they can take a stand even at that point. And the scriptures give us some examples, and I want to point them out to you. The first example, I think, that really is a profound one, is described in Genesis chapter 48. And this is a moment when the patriarch Jacob has been reunited with his son Joseph. And Joseph is in Egypt and has prepared a way for Egypt to survive a famine, and has also been used by God to provide for the children of Israel, who had long been separated. He had long been separated from them. And Jacob is wanting to do something that seems almost inappropriate, because he wants to convey a blessing on Joseph's sons, not on Joseph directly. And he speaks to Joseph, and he says, "Your two sons who were born to you in Egypt before I came to you will now be counted as my sons. Ephraim and Manasseh will be mine, just as Reuben and Simeon are mine." And so Jacob, the grandfather, lays claim to his grandsons, and he elevates them up to a position where they are equal to all the sons of Israel. And it's important to think about what this means, because Ephraim and Manasseh were raised in Egypt. They weren't raised with Jacob and with his family. They were raised with an Egyptian identity, and they had an Egyptian mother. According to modern Orthodox Jewish law, if you have a Jewish mother, you're not Jewish. If you don't have a Jewish mother, excuse me, then you're not Jewish. But in this case, the sons of Joseph did not have a Jewish mother, and yet Jacob, being moved by the Holy Spirit, understood they were Jewish. They didn't fully understand their identity. Jewish law, in some way, errs in this regard. But God and Jacob understood, for a purpose that you and I would understand. That those of us who take our counsel from the scriptures and from the acts of God that are recorded in the scriptures, that we would be able to understand what is happening here and how to apply it to ourselves. And let's continue to read in verse 13. "So Joseph takes both of these, Ephraim on his right towards Israel's left hand, and Manasseh on his left toward Israel's right hand, and he brought them close to him, and Israel reached out his right hand and put it on Ephraim's head, though he was the younger one. And then he crossed his arms, he put his left hand on Manasseh's head." Why don't you just practice that? You know, what is that, crisscross applesauce? You do it with your legs. "Even though Manasseh was the firstborn. And so the right hand symbolizing the greater blessing that belongs to the firstborn, Jacob puts on the secondborn, and he reverses it. And then he blesses Joseph, and he says, "May the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day, the angel who has delivered me from all harm, may he bless these boys. May they be called by my name and the names of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and may they increase greatly upon the earth." And so Jacob now is doing something that is so significant. He is saying that the covenant that God made with Abraham, that was then passed on to Isaac and then extended to Jacob, is now being broadened to include these two grandsons, and they will be counted as sons. And he brings them fully into the people Israel, even though their mother was Egyptian. even though they were raised in Egypt without a Jewish identity, and even though they didn't have Jewish community experience. Jacob gives them the position of sons, and he elevates them to be leaders of tribes of Israel. Joseph could not do this. Ephraim and Manasseh could not do it for himself, for themselves. Jacob does it for them. And we see one of the reasons why it's important for the community to participate in the elevation of those like Elika. So that there comes a moment when Elika, when you say, I am part of Israel. And my life now conforms to that, and I've taken my own position. And God, working through others, has conveyed fullness of identity upon me, and I accept that for myself, and I will walk in it, and that's what I'm going to pass on. And this is one of the reasons, this experience of Ephraim and Manasseh is one of the reasons why the children of Israel always bless their sons and say, may you be like Ephraim and Manasseh. Which, I mean, if you look at their character, they weren't always good. But who is? But what did they do? They forsook the identity of Egypt for the identity of Israel. They gave up their position in society as part of the court of the king. And they joined themselves with the Jewish people who were shepherds, which was considered the lowest of positions for Egypt. And then God raised them up to have a future they could not have for themselves any other way. That's the first story that comes to mind. The second one that I connect us to in my mind is from the life of the Apostle Paul and Timothy. And Paul was looking for... He was looking for someone to go with him as he moved forward in his own calling to be a shaliach, an apostle, a sent one. And Acts chapter 16 tells the story in just three verses. It says that Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer. Okay, Jewish and a believer. Now, what would we call that today? Messianic Jew, right? But whose father was a Greek. Okay, now what would we call that? Normal Messianic Jew. Meaning intermarried is not unusual. The brothers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of Timothy. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised Timothy because of the Jewish people who lived in that area, because they all knew that his father was Greek. So Paul recognizes Timothy as a Jew, even though he had not been raised with a full Jewish identity. Timothy, unlike Manasseh and Ephraim, had a Jewish mother. And his Jewish mother had a Jewish mother. So on the modern Orthodox halacha legal side of Judaism, Timothy's a Jew. Do you get it? And yet, he doesn't have a full Jewish identity. His father was not Jewish, and when Timothy was born, Timothy wasn't circumcised, so he was raised with, in essence, a Jewish identity that was incomplete. Timothy was a young man at this time, and he was a disciple of Messiah. And the scriptures also teach us that he knew the Jewish scriptures because his mother and his grandmother had taught him these things. But he had not been brought into the covenant that God made with the Jewish people. So even though his mother was Jewish, Timothy's identity was incomplete. So Paul circumcises Timothy for this purpose, to bring him fully into the covenant that God made with the Jewish people, so that Timothy, who is a Jew, can be fully identified as a Jew and be able to pass on that Jewish identity. So we have two situations of young people who discover late in life that they are Jewish and need to walk in it, or they have an incomplete understanding. How many times, Sandy, have you and I met people who said, I'm not Jewish, but my father is? Hundreds of times. Or they say, I'm not Jewish, but my mother is. Or some, I got to tell you this, because I met this person, Sandy and I met this woman in Phoenix. She said, my brother says I'm not Jewish, but my sister is, my twin sister. And we knew one guy in Budapest, and his mother said, I'm not Jewish, but my son is. And she was. But she couldn't embrace it. Part of the era in which we live requires that God raise up those whose identities as Jews has been incomplete. Those who are the children and grandchildren of the Holocaust often suffer because of this. Those who have Jewish fathers but not Jewish mothers often suffer. Those who were raised with some faith in Yeshua and felt like they didn't fit into the rabbinic Jewish community often suffer like this. Those who are the children of intermarriage often suffer like this. And those who, like many Jews, find out later in life that their parents are Jews often have these needs. And part of our prophetic role is not to convey Jewishness on people who aren't Jewish, but to convey Jewishness on those who are. And to say, you don't have to convert to be a Jew. You were a Jew. You are a Jew. But you need to step forward in your own identity. Because your agreement with your identity and your stepping forward is all that it takes, like so many acts of faith, to bring fullness and completion to what God has already set in motion. Elika, we're really proud of you. That you've taken a stand, that you know who you are, you know where you're going, you know what you want to give to your future family, and you set a good example for our community. You prepared well. You spoke well. We're going to put you to work. And our deepest prayer is that God would convey on to you all of the grace that He has been storing up for this season. And that you would see it, that you would walk in it, you would feel it, and the rest of us would see it too, and many others would be increased simply by watching what God is doing. This is going to be a great summer of bat mitzvot, because we have two more coming up this summer, and it's going to be a time of rejoicing. And for everybody who hasn't gone through Hebrew classes, you know what I say. To the Gentiles, I say, come, we'll make it easy. To the Jews, what are you doing? What's keeping you? Because we are, in a real way, an egalitarian community. And there is, in this community, a place for every Jew and a place for everybody who comes from any other background. And we see that God is raising all of us up together. And to that end, I encourage every one of you who is a part of this community to prepare yourself so that you also can read from Torah. You also can participate in our Hebrew prayers and our blessings of God with understanding. And that you also can convey to the next generation fullness of identity. Well, we're going to close with Aaron's blessing, and I want to invite you to join us afterwards. You can congratulate Elika. Elika, I want you and Eric to come over near the doors, okay? Right now? No, not so that you can get out. So that anybody who wants to greet you can easily greet you, okay? So if you will gather over there. Allison and Isabella, I don't see you, but I invite you up. Our daughter and her two children are here.
Isabella's in Shabbat school,
so she's not going to join us here. We're always happy when our family is with us. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai p'navelecha v'yichunecha. Yisa Adonai p'navelecha v'yisem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord protect you as He keeps watch over you. The Lord cause the light of His face to shine upon you. The Lord favor you with all of His grace and mercy. The Lord lift up His face to you and give you His shalom in the name of the Prince of Peace, Yeshua, our Messiah. Amen. Shabbat shalom.